Amen. 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 He washed us white as snow. For our scripture this morning, we invite your attention to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, the third chapter. We would like to begin reading with verse number 1, Joshua chapter 3, beginning with the first verse. The book of Joshua, the third chapter, beginning with the first verse. These words are recorded. And Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel. And they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of Jehovah your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. We read for your hearing from Joshua, the third chapter, verses 1, 2, and 3. May the Lord continue to bless us through his mighty word. From these verses of scripture, allow me to use for a subject, standing on the banks of the Jordan. Standing on the banks of the Jordan. The land of Canaan was a place of challenge and a place of spiritual struggle. Even Moses gave some important principles in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, to assist the men in overcoming the enemy. Moses wrote that the land must be possessed and the enemy must be destroyed. He also wrote, said no compromise could be made with those who are in that land. And he added, the altars of Canaan had to be destroyed, the idols eradicated, and the groves cleaned. You see, the crossing of the River Jordan and the taking of Canaan was always the call for the people of God. The walled cities, the numerous gods, and the temples had to be removed, and some of those things were not just spiritual actions, but physical actions also. Some would express that they derived desire to walk with God, and some have a hunger for revival. Some long for lost men to be saved and expect God overnight to change them on the inside, but I want to let you know that that all changes do not occur at the altar. Many people are converted at an altar, but it is what happens when you leave the altar that makes all the difference in the world. You see, God expects radical change when he empowers us with the Spirit. Once we walk away from the altar, there is to be a spiritual obligation to fulfill, but there are some physical changes that we are responsible for also. We ought to have a change in attitude. There ought to be a change in our habits. There ought to be a change in our associations, a change in our thought life. There ought to be a change in our influences. We must destroy the walled cities in our lives, the idolatrous temples, and break down the gods that we have of the world. Joshua and the children of Israel now stand on the banks of the Jordan, looking into a land that would have already been conquered except doubt had ruled their fathers. The position that Israel now finds itself in was familiar to the one that Moses had faced at the Red Sea, but now Joshua has a group of people who have weathered the desert. You see, the desert had toughened them. It had brought discipline to their lives. Joshua possessed a powerful instrument that was much more suitable for accomplishing the purposes of God. You see, we ought not to despise the deserts that come up in our lives. When we have those deserts of tribulations, when we have those deserts of lukewarmness, deserts of spiritual dryness, deserts of small things and barrenness, and deserts of emptiness and struggle, and deserts of isolation, temptation, and defeat. For you see, it is those deserts that God uses to make his greatest people. Deserts have a way of making men and women prayer warriors. And deserts initiate a hunger from God that is often unprecedented. The actual crossing of the Jordan River is found in the third and fourth chapters. And Joshua had some very special reasons for crossing the Jordan at the lower fords across from Jericho. You see, he could have went further north. He could have crossed into a plain of ease because there was no walled cities there. Or he could have crossed further south from Jericho, but that would have taken them back into the desert where they had come from. Not only did they face Jericho, the walled city, they also faced the Jordan River at flood stage. You see, quite a challenge for the children of Israel, but allow me to let you in on something. You see, you never ever want to serve a God who does not challenge you. You want one who will challenge your heart, one who will challenge your thinking, one who will challenge your life, because the God that we serve, who is not challenging those he serves, really is not exacting change in your life. You see, we face a multitude of changes in this society. We live, we work with people who really need revival. Most people we come into contact with call themselves disciples, but yet it seems that being a disciple has little effect on how they live their lives. You see, they go to church on Sundays, leave about 2 hours later, just as dull as they came in. They appear to be the same, just as the world. They go to the same movies that the world goes to. They rent the same DVDs or the movies or download on streaming and Snapchatting and all these other things that the world does. They do everything that the world would do and still call it Christianity. So we face not only the challenges of bringing revival to the world, but also the challenges of praying a revival into what is to be called the church. You see, you need to be challenged. Don't just stand at the banks of the river. We must work while it is still day. There must be no hesitation, no excuse making, no resistance to moving forward, no ordinary programs, ordinary methods will get us off the banks of the Jordan. The thing that takes us across the river will be accomplished by following the manifest presence of God Almighty. Stepping into a river at flood stage is not the normal way to cross a river. You see, that poses danger, raises fear in the heart of man, brings about the leaving of the security of the banks of the river. But we still must trust God, still must set out. We have to let go. We have to do more than just wade in the water. You see, Scripture uses rivers to be symbolic of God's presence. Psalm 1 mentions that a stable man who is by the river. John 7 says that the rivers of living water will flow from a man's life. Revelation reminds us that rivers will flow out of the river of God. The river of God is found in the Garden of Eden. The river of God is found in Ezekiel's temple. The river of God is found in believers in Christ, and even in the new city of God. You see, rivers of revivals are first a river of death to self, death to pride, and to our own feelings of religiosity. Religion is not relationship. Once a man crosses the river, it will bring death to human carnality. It will bring death to our own feelings of our ability. It will place an emphasis on what God can do to the man who is willing to go the distance with him. You see, 2 Kings gives us the story of a man by the name of Naaman. Naaman had leprosy and was commanded by an absent prophet to dip in the River Jordan 7 times for his own healing. You see, that simple message brought a furious response from Naaman. Here he was on the banks of the river, but he wanted to go back to Damascus. He wanted to dip in the rivers that were an alternative to the muddy Jordan. He wanted to be healed, but he really did not want to be healed. We will always be challenged to dip into rivers that are not of our own making and not of our own choosing. But it will be those exact rivers that bring healing and restoration back to our lives. I hear now, on the banks of the river was Joshua and the people of Israel. The river had to be crossed before vision could change into possession. There was a barrier between the desert and the promised land. There will always be barriers between what we desire from God and where we physically are at the moment. There are critical hours in every life. Almost every experience has its share of calamities and turning points. There are single moments and actions that act as rudders and they'll steer us in the direction of the goals or the direction of misfortune. But somewhere between our desert and our promised land, there will seemingly be insurmountable odds and great barriers, but we must determine that it may be Friday now, but always remember that Sunday is coming. We must continue to fight on, continue the struggle, and allow God to see us through the difficulties. I don't know about you, but Jesus did it. On Thursday, he was betrayed. He was tried. And on Friday, found himself beaten and nailed to a cross, and even died on that hill called Golgotha. But you see, Sunday did come. Sunday came, and he got up with all power in his hand. He got up, the man he was burning in a fiery furnace at one time. The one who got up was the baptizer with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The one who got up was a burden bearer. One who got up was the avenger of God's elect. The one who got up was a jealous God, the Lord God of my strength. He got up because he was the consuming fire. He was the Son of Righteousness who rose with healing in his wings. I don't know about you, but too many are still standing on the banks of the Jordan. It's time to get off the banks. Time to move out into the deep. Don't wade in the water, but move out into the deep. Jesus will meet you there. That's why he lived. That's why he died. And that's why he rose again from the dead. Come through your desert experience, for in order to get to your promised land, some of us really must go through the desert. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior in your life, move off of the banks of the river. Move out. The Bible says launch out into the deep and drop your nets. Stay off the banks. Going in the river. Jesus will meet you there. May God bless you. May you.